Hello and welcome everyone to the Last Lap Podcast, post the Mexican Grand Prix, and what a mental Mexican Grand Prix it was, or it felt like it was, just because of foolishness happening throughout.
Saved by a red flag.
Saved by Kevin Magnussen. Mm. He's got a habit of doing that. He did it, you know, when Pierre Gasly won in Italy, Kevin Magnussen decided to break down, just park in the pit lane for no reason.
Suspension, thought it would give us some...
It was
suspense.
Bored. Oh, nice. That's good for me. That's good. That's
somewhat.
Why we pay him the big bucks.
Listen, you know, you pay for quality. it was a bit of a...
Slow burner.
It was a slow burner, but great company today.
Mm.
Mahad, Pete.
Yeah.
McLaren Fan TV boys. It was a pleasure. What did we think overall of the race if we had to try and give it a rating?
I think for Mexico, people, you know, Mexico's not got the greatest rep besides its aesthetics and the stadium and everything else.
Yeah.
The racing itself doesn't necessarily live up to high praise. And I think for what we got this weekend, I think actually I'm going to go 6.5 out of 10. I think it was pretty decent. Maybe being here with you guys is probably what made it bearable, but I don't know. But I think, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. There's 6.5 out of 10. There was a bit of action.
There was a few wheel-to-wheel battles.
There's things to talk about.
There was definitely some battles there. This is a race that absolutely reeked last year.
Yeah.
And there was like 10 overtakes over the whole race. Obviously, this had a red flag, had two restarts, had a lot of good overtakes, and a lot of people recovering through the field. Mm. I'll give it a nice little 6.5 out of 10. So I really think it was a decent race.
I think
the stream was better, guys.
Yeah,
the stream was better. Yeah, we made it sick. I think that it was above average. It was above average.
I'll give it a 6. I can't give it more than that.
Yeah, what I will say is the wheel-to-wheel action that we did have was actually good quality.
Yeah.
Action, mostly. I mean, I don't mean as in driving standards. It was entertaining.
Yeah, rather,
it wasn't like someone blitzing past someone and it was like 50 stupidly easy DRS overtakes.
Yeah, Max was, but... The
rest of them were just like actually pretty decent moves for the most part. So yeah, 6.5.
Yeah.
Generous.
And obviously the Mexico City Grand Prix being Sergio Perez's home Grand Prix and qualified, not great. Still 10.5 off of Max. Wasn't the end of the world as much as Ricciardo being ahead of him. Didn't look good. But then into turn one, 3 wide, 3 don't go into one. We've had this a few times, haven't we? And, you know... Checo's the one taking the risk. It's a racing incident, but if it's on anyone, it's on him. It's certainly not on Max. He's got the inside. He's just carrying his line. Charles, I don't think he can do too much more. Maybe you could argue he's a little bit drifting away from Max, but Checo's putting himself around the outside like he did in Qatar, didn't he?
Mm.
And Checo put himself on the outside and ended up getting caught out and happened again.
I think it's just definitely... home race, a lot of pressure. Getting out of qualified by Daniel Ricciardo, just he had a fantastic start.
Let's give
credit
for
Perez there, that he was even in the conversation.
He shouldn't have been there, truthfully. Yeah,
such a good launch. But trying to go 3 wide on that corner, it just showed a little bit of impatience. Trying to go around the outside, he could have just backed out and then just lived another day and won, just let the race settle out. There was an opportunity here for him to get P2. So, like, just show a little bit of patience, just... You don't have to get everything in one go. The fact that you started so far behind, you've already cleared signs and the other people are around you. You just have to show a little bit of patience.
There. I felt like
maybe there was a little pressure. Listen, he saw the cake. He was like, I'm going to eat this cake. You
know? Yeah.
P1 around the corner, the crowd's going to go wild.
Yeah.
But then he ended up over
like
a pancake and then the race was done for him.
It kind of like, I think it was like a split second sort of thing of, I'm at home, driving to Mexico, Mexican fans are here to see me, whatever, and I've got a sick start. Mm. And I could, if I make this move around the outside, I'm in the lead.
Yeah.
I'm in the same car as Max. I might win here. It was a very sort of like all or nothing. Like, I don't care about finishing second behind Max.
And this
I want to win, bro.
It's a tough track to overtake.
So it is.
You can understand where that thought process might come from.
Definitely. It makes sense. It's just that, like, if you looked at his trajectory as he was like arriving at the corner, he was literally almost on the racing line.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you've got two cars on your inside. Not even just one. Like, something has got to, you've got to at least start turning in a little bit later than that.
Yeah, I think you guys have all said great points regarding this. I think as well, you know, Ricciardo out qualifying him is one thing. He's at his home Grand Prix. I think even just for the season that Checo's had, he could just do with like some time off. You know what I mean? The season could not end quicker. And it's now that he had this opportunity to actually go ahead and overtake both Ferraris, his name was in headlights type of thing.
All of a sudden,
it's like, yeah, it's such a silly mistake. And I don't think it's a Checo-like mistake either. And so it's almost like with everything added in terms of it being in Mexico, overtaking his Ferraris, even ditching Danny Ricciardo very early doors as well, it was right there for you. I mean, there's a running theme in this race where if people were just patient, your move will get done. Like, you ain't got to sort of go too early or anything like that. And we'll talk about it from the other positions. But yeah, it's such a shame. I was heartbroken to see Checo out so early.
His home race, man. That's home, why it was sad, yeah. Really.
And again, I think it's the contrast between Max, who started P3. Remember, he didn't start on the front row. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he positioned his car like perfectly on the inside, turn one. Like, that's the difference. And it's easy to say in like hindsight, but like Max doesn't get caught up in those kind of instances, even when he's starting further back,
yeah,
like a little bit further
back. He positioned himself the best he could ever possibly position himself in that situation.
100%.
And I mean, last podcast, we were talking about the gap, Hamilton-Perez, and this was before the disqualification, and we were talking about a 19-point gap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, Lewis got disqualified, so that gap jumped back up, but now the gap is 20 points. So if Lewis hadn't got disqualified, it would be 1 point.
God.
If Lewis
Jesus. Hadn't got pressure is getting worse for Checo right now.
Yeah.
And for him to not get P2. You spoke about it last week, didn't you?
Yeah. We literally were just like biggest war crime. Like, it's the fact that, again, we said it last week, like it's the Red Bull's dominant car, but it's not the first dominant car in Formula One history. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first dominant cars, though, where everyone else behind is like level playing field. So it's not like you've even got a Fernando Alonso and a Ferrari who's sweeping up consistently. Like with Mark Webber. Mark Webber finishing third in the dominant Red Bull wasn't as bad because it was like, at least it was only one guy who was picking up points.
Even last year weren't that bad because...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Leclerc was in the title fight at one point, so it's calm. Whereas this season, it's just been domination from the start. Aston Martin were the second best car on the grid. They just double DNF'd 17th and 18th today, having been at the back the entire time. Mercedes were kind of in there. Ferrari the same. McLaren are now there. If you don't finish second in this championship, it's crazy. I just feel like he needs a couple second places. Yeah. A couple, just literally two weekends back to back where he finishes second in the race and he's been within like 0.4 of Max. Just to get some level of confidence because he is just overdriving at every possible opportunity right now.
But this was the track that he's meant to be like.
Mansell famously
said like, oh, you gain a second at home. Like, obviously. Yeah. You know, in qualifying, he was a tenth and a half off of Max. Like, that's a much closer gap than we've seen for, I think, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
not too bad.
Really?
What, the guy in between?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Like,
the person that's possibly replacing him.
The guy in between, who, you know, P7 in the end for Ricciardo.
Yeah. Could have been more. But also still incredible for AlphaTauri.
Incredible.
You know, truly, given the situation they're in. You know,
it's hard to talk about Perez and not talk about Ricciardo and vice versa, right? Because I think their stories are, Daniel is in that seat because he wants to get into the Red Bull as soon as possible. If Ricciardo can do enough to prove that he is, and we talked about this during the stream, Pete, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's one school of thought, which is like, this gap Perez to Verstappen is fine because there's a clear 1-2. You could argue the same at Aston Martin. Alonso Stroll, clear 1-2. Don't have to worry about tripping over each other. They're too close. It's an issue. But there is a point where the gap between teammates and, like you said in the stream as well, like, you know, you can't back up your teammate. You can't play those tactical games that if you've got two cars up there, you can. Red Bull have to assume everyone's going to catch up. They have to assume everyone's going to catch up and prepare as such. It's 2 years, two full years of these new regs. Mercedes and Ferrari and McLaren should be closer next year. Should, on paper. We'll see. It's up to them. You can't facilitate that in the rules. But is this gap, like, it's just so painful to watch. And I don't know how this can carry on for any longer because it's just every single week we're talking about Perez because it's so bad.
I definitely believe that if Perez was a Red Bull racing driver, they would have put him in AlphaTauri already, but they don't have that type of control over him. That contract that he's probably got is solid. saying that he can't leave to know that teams. Contract. We need to know he's probably got some high fees if you want to cancel it early, all this type of stuff, that a lot of financial stuff that they don't want to really commit to. And maybe we've heard of a lot of conflict between Helmut Marko and Horner at the moment in the background, even though on the face of it, they're looking like it's all chummy. But maybe they're arguing over that situation, or why did we give them renewal after that Monaco win last year?
Yeah.
It's giving them such a strong position now that we can't just throw him out of the team whenever we feel like it.
Yeah.
And maybe they have to just see what happens, let it run its course, and then maybe bite the bullet next year, like during the season, and pay him out and put some.
Because McLaren, you were in a similar situation. You had to make a choice between keeping Ricciardo and chucking him in, taking that financial hit and going for someone else. And it seems to have paid off.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, Mahad said it during the live stream that Ricciardo was brought in to be the number one driver, and he failed at that quite drastically. And the Sergio Perez thing for me, I just feel, I don't know, like, I know there's a lot of noise. He's not had a great year. How bad do you think he was last season, in all honesty? When you look at the grand scheme of things, I don't think he was that terrible compared to, especially with his first year, how good he was in his first season at Red Bull. I think Red Bull are happy with, I mean, it depends what part of Red Bull we're talking about here, but they are happy with what's happening at hand here, because they're still in a very strong position. And I don't think Checo necessarily, I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying there, Mahad, in terms of if this wasn't a non sort of Red Bull driver, he would be ditched. I think they're quite happy because he's still, it's not like it was with Albon or with Gasly, or, you know, or like Bottas at the end with Mercedes. This isn't the same thing. I just think this is a case of, at the end of the season, we've got to let the season be a write-off, and it was a poor season, no doubt. But next year is a time where, okay, his seat could be on the line purely because he's not getting those P2s. Because it's not about winning the races with him, isn't it? It's not about even, you know, battling with Charles Leclerc or Lando Norris or whoever the case may be. It's simply about, you don't want to put that risk of Ricciardo in the Red Bull, and then all of a sudden you're going to have carnage between the two drivers. You don't want a Mercedes. You don't want to do Russell and Hamilton with this Red Bull team. I think half of the team think that.
What I would say is, though, because I hear that, because Daniel Ricciardo, I don't think Daniel Ricciardo is the type of driver to come in and go, I'm calm just being Valtteri Bottas. He's not. That's not Daniel Ricciardo, but I just don't think he'll get a choice. Max is so good.
Ricciardo won't beat Max in that car.
Exactly. And I don't think
he'll be default second driver.
And I don't, yeah, it'll be, yeah, literally, he'll be default second driver. And I don't think it'll be close enough to a point where Daniel can go. I think Daniel's a great driver, and I think he'd do a better job than Sergio Perez right now, if I'm honest.
You think, yeah.
But I just don't think he'll get himself into a position where he can actually challenge Max, and they'll end up taking each other out all the time. With George and Lewis, this is happening, or has happened at points through the season, because they've actually been so level out on the track. You can only crash with your teammate if you're actually next to them.
Sure.
So I don't know if Ricciardo would have that opportunity. The thing where I'm like, the main concern I have for Checo is if someone catches Red Bull, like Tomo was saying, if Mercedes come next season with the same level of car that can win as many races as Red Bull, and Checo's in the second seat and driving like he is, there's like a 70% chance that Max doesn't win the championship. Because he doesn't have a rear gunner ever.
Yeah, right, right. Constructors.
So, a million percent they lose the constructors. That's a given.
You say, right, all Checo needs to do is just get P2s, right? This is, Max, this is going to go down as one of the most dominant F1 seasons of all time, right? From Max Verstappen, from a driver, from an individual driver. How many times do you reckon Checo's finished second this year? In 19 races.
I think it's going to be really low.
I think it's 8.
How many times do you think he's finished P2?
I think 8.
I think this is going to be like 5, genuinely.
Yeah.
Actually, no, because he has recovered at times.
I think beginning of the season he was strong. So I'm saying 8.
P2 yeah. Or podiums?
P2.
Just P2.
You say if P2's the ask. Right?
P2, yeah. P2 has to, in this car, P2 is like, yeah,
I'd say podium.
The expectation.
I'd say podium is the minimum. Oh, right. You know, just because I think, like, he's not the best driver on the grid. He's not even top 3. He's not even top 5.
But it's the best car by a mile.
Yeah, but as we discussed before in the stream as well, like, the best car doesn't necessarily mean this.
True, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it's another thing. If it was Hamilton in the Red Bull, if it was a driver that we know he's ace, this guy's really good, then yeah, P2s and whatever. I think if Perez's target should be podiums, because A, he's not that good in terms of the elite, but he's in a great car. So therefore, he should be on the podiums, but not necessarily P2 all the time.
Can we still guess P2? Just because I really want to know. I actually just really want to know what number.
I say 8.
I'll go 7.
I'd say 6.
I think he's definitely got the second most podiums.
4.
So he's got less than Lando Norris.
4 P2s.
He's got less P2s than Lando Norris.
Out of 19.
Lando's got 5.
Lando's got 5. He's got more.
Lando has 5 P2s. Checo has...
Wow,
that's 4 yeah, that's P2s.
That's insane.
McLaren didn't even turn up to Austria, bro.
Lando was in a Tango can.
So for Lando, that's like 5, truthfully, out of 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the first 8 Grand Prix McLaren were
right off
at the back in the midfield, whatever. So that's 5 out of 11 for Lando, and 4 out of 19.
But the way I look at it
is in terms of opportunity.
The way I look at it is this though: he's not better than Lando, but also, I think this is just a bad year. I'm not saying that he's got a bad career at Red Bull.
No,
what people are saying. That's what people are saying. Whereas in his first year at Red Bull, he was good. And you know when you're talking about that, when the neck is on the line, we saw Checo defend for his life in Abu Dhabi, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To help Max win that title.
Checo did a job.
Yeah, he did a job. And I think that's what he was signed to do.
He was signed as a second driver.
Right? And he thanked God that he had a job in Formula One, because obviously with what was going on with Racing Point.
Like pace-wise, when you actually look relative Max to Alex, Max to Pierre, Max to Checo, they're all pretty close.
Are we talking race pace or quality pace?
Like quality pace.
Quality pace. Perez has been bad at quality since he entered Formula One. So to evaluate Perez, before they hired him, they know he's not good at quality.
Yeah,
he's going toe to toe with Stroll every week.
And that makes
he's not that good at quality. People kind of know he hasn't got that pace there. It was more about we need somebody that's experienced, that knows he's a number two. He's grateful. He's just happy to be here, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the tide changed a little bit because beginning of this season, he was doing all that big and talk, like, I'm going to go for the title. Let's go toe-to-toe with Max.
He won two, right?
And I feel like the team were like,
He won two, right? Two of the first four.
First four, right? So there was something right going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the team weren't happy about that because that's not what they had him for.
Exactly. And so here we are. So it's a case of, for me, like they thought they were going to get a Bottas for Red Bull, where it's worked so well with Mercedes, Lewis and Bottas. Obviously, Bottas is great at qualifying from time to time, but this is what they thought they were going to get, and this is what he's signed to do. Yes, he's falling just below par this year, definitely. This year, awful. It's been bad. But I think it's only one bad year. And that's why I just don't get the hysterics about his seat being lost. And I know you said from day when Ricardo actually came back, the last time I think I was on here, you said, yeah, you think he's going to get that seat next year. And I just think Red Bull would be silly to do that move. They would be silly to do that move.
I think if it's the same next year, he's got to go.
If it's the same as this year, I mean, listen.
Four seconds out of 19.
How does it get any better?
Awful.
How does it improve?
At this age, he's not going to get
mentally.
Tell me how it improves.
It is a mental thing.
It's only mental.
No.
I
disagree completely.
I disagree.
What do you think?
I think he just does
Max
not,
found something in Baku, didn't he?
Yeah, he just can't do what Max does. And Max, obviously, the car is amazing. There's no doubt about it, but it's amazing for Max. Max can utilize.
Max can drive. He's
driving at 100%.
Yeah.
If there was 2 Perez's in that car, there'd be a title fight right now.
Yeah.
Because he just can't get his head around it.
There is no way Max starts 2024 as slowly, relatively, as he started 2023. Like Max. No, Max has had 2 full seasons with this car now. Like the RB. Whatever it be, 20 next year?
He didn't even have a slow start in the first 2022. Well, it's just his car blew up.
So he won Bahrain. Saudi had the penalty, didn't he, Max?
Something happened in quali, no?
Yeah, he had some kind of issue in quali, didn't he?
He had an issue in quali Q3 or something.
He broke down.
So that obviously accounts for a lot of the reason why he didn't win that race. And then Checo was 5th in Australia. And then obviously Baku. And Checo's a specialist, right? That works for his style. Mm-hmm. It's 90 degree corners.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's what he's on. Traction, bang.
There's not any 90 degree corner tracks on the grids.
But I'll be honest, though, it's a wrap. I'm gonna be a deadly sick. I think he might
Ricardo's gonna take that.
I think he might as well give him next year. Yeah,
Baku's not until September. He's not gonna get to September.
Oh God,
is it not?
No, they changed it. So he was preying on. Oh, let me get to Baku. Let me show what I'm about. Get a contract.
I I don't know if given
Baku's around 17 next year.
Oh yeah, he's done.
Get
he's
in
done.
There.
Oh yeah, he's actually done. I don't know.
He will
I
be driving for Williams.
I actually don't know, because I think Daniel Ricciardo does a better job than Sergio's doing right now.
Yeah,
but he
knows how to drive a Red Bull.
And he would be the perfect distance from Max.
He's not going to be racing Max enough.
I don't disagree with that comment. This will not be the same Sergio next year.
No.
What makes you believe that?
Because he's just had a bad year. That's it. You look at him over time. He's not this bad.
No.
He's not this bad.
That is true.
He is bad relative to Max.
But he's...
Today, yes.
In general.
As in, he wasn't bad last year relative to Max, and he wasn't bad in 2022 to Max. He's just
when
had a...
No, the problem is, though, when your mentals go, it's hard.
That is
hard
true.
To come back from.
No, that is true.
Like, because Max is only going to get... Well, better, you would imagine, unless he's just in his peak now, fares, whatever. But, like... Checo at this point in time, this is like an all-time low. Japan, Qatar,
yeah, for sure.
This stretch is probably bottom.
There's a few stretches, hasn't there?
Yeah, there was that qualifying run in the middle of the season where he kept like binning it, like started in Monaco and all that sort of jazz. But this is like serious all-time low. I honestly don't see a world where he can come back next season and go right, cool. I can be the driver that I need to be to keep this Red Bull seat after what's happened this season.
We have to wait.
We saw it with Valtteri Bottas as mentors. It dropped off as that 2021 season happened.
Yeah.
And I haven't really
Bottas
seen...
Bottas dropped off, I think, after like 5 years of getting whooped by Lewis.
Oh, facts. Yeah, it must take take a toll.
I think with Checo, I don't know. I believe him. I believe in him more than I would say Bottas in this scenario.
So we've been playing and supporting the Santander Lap Zero quiz all year. It's time to test our F1 knowledge once again.
The Santander Lap Zero Immaculate Formula One Driver Grid Challenge is here.
Straightforward enough, we name a driver until one of us hits the wall. Let's go.
All right, so we've got the grid here. I'm debating what to go with first. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Debating what position, but I'm thinking I'm going top left. Simple stuff. So just a driver that's driven for Ferrari, driver that's driven for McLaren as well.
Like yeah.
Both.
Go on then.
Easy, simples. We'll go with Fernando Alonso.
That is correct.
Hey.
Wee. Come on. Spain's own.
Points for that. All right. Two-time world champion, Mercedes, Red Bull, Williams, Ferrari. Oh, Williams, Ferrari is an interesting one. I'm going to take a nice easy one.
Yeah, we don't want to disgrace ourselves straight away.
Not straight away. Mercedes, McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
Nico. Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, I thought you...
That is correct.
All right. Okay. So... Well, I think you've got two clear options. If you wanna tic tac toe me.
Yeah, realistically. Ferrari and Williams, I'm not gonna lie, that's gonna need some more thought right now. I'm gonna be 100% honest. I'm gonna have to think about it.
Phone a friend.
Yeah. Pastor Maldonado. So I think instead I'm probably gonna go with Red Bull and Williams. And you know what's crazy? Actually, no, I was about to say that also requires thought, but it's okay, I can do it. I'm going to go with our friend of the stream, friend of the channel, Mark Webber.
Mark Webber.
Mark Webber.
Mark Webber.
That is correct.
Yes.
Ding dong.
Come on. Oh. Let's fucking have it, mate. Now, I know it's a very difficult decision where to go now to stop me ticking and tacking and toeing.
Because you've got to obviously think Mercedes have been around for a while.
Mm, indeed.
A while. But obviously two-time world champion.
It's two or more.
Oh, it's two or more. Oh. Oh. That's also...
Well, would you look at that?
At least two times.
That's also Lewis Hamilton then, isn't it? Or I could... You know what? I'm not actually going to go for Lewis Hamilton.
Mm.
I'm going to go for Juan Manuel Fangio.
Is that correct? Can I defer?
You can defer.
That is correct.
Ding dong.
Way.
Ding dong.
Wow.
Up the Fangio.
Up the... but it's cool. We can run it. That's fine. Fine. Technically run still it. PG.
So I've stopped you getting the line. Obviously, we're not too worried about
we're
it.
We're just
line.
Out here. We're just
out here filling up the
we're
boards.
We're just filling things out right
with
now.
Knowledge. So. But we've not got any wrong yet, so...
No, yeah. So a good start. A good start.
Reign of Britain.
I'm going to head over now to 2-time world champion and Red Bull. So the far right middle one. And you know what? We're going to throw it back. I could obviously, name someone that's on the grid right now, slapping it right now.
Slap, slap.
But I'm going to go for the boy, Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel.
It's a lovely shot. And it's gone in the back of the net.
Ah, what top corner. Unbelievable stuff. What a boy. What a man.
A hit, son.
What a hit.
Do you think he'll be back, Seb? Briefly. Aldi. Briefly, lads. Yeah, Aldi. Yeah.
Put him in a Red Bull seat.
Put him in the Red Bull.
Oh, that would just be delightful, honestly.
He said he's keeping match fit, but I don't know. You can only do so many weights on the side of your head.
To get the G-forces going. Yeah.
Right. Ferrari 2-time. You know what? I'm going to say... I want to be more interested, but you know, two on the dot, Fernando Alonso, of course. Not in a Ferrari, but
That counts. That goes in the back of the net.
It is also in the back of the net. No VAR for that one.
It's not crazy. A worldie, I'll be honest. It's not a screamer.
Yeah, it's like
that's a tapping.
Yeah. It's like 6 yards
it's a
out.
Sweaty FIFA goal.
Yeah. Yeah. He was there in the right place at the right time.
It's a Verstappen 25-second victory.
Yeah. Fantasy. It really is. It really creative. Is.
Back to you now.
All right. So we're gonna I've kind of already forgotten where I've actually gone. So we're going at random now, truthfully. So Mercedes, Williams, we're going for a little link up there. Yeah. And I'm gonna choose the man himself, the cursed individual. If he takes a photo outside your garage, the car's gonna blow up. It's Nico Rosberg.
Nico Rosberg, you are in pole position, my friend. Well done with that one.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah.
Him and Webber, teammates.
Webber.
Back in the day.
Mark Webber.
Yeah, they were, innit?
Such a fun name. Right. In Australian accent. Sorry to all our Aussie viewers out there.
Right, what ones we still left to do?
So, boys. You've got Ferrari, Williams.
Ferrari, Williams.
You've got Mercedes... You got Mercedes. No.
You got Red Bull, McLaren.
Red Bull, McLaren, and Red Bull, Williams.
Okay. Red Bull, Williams. Red you already got. Red you got.
Yeah,
got
Webber.
Mark Webber.
How can I forget?
Okay. So obviously, Red Bull haven't been around very long.
No. Since 2006. Yes, that one.
06.
06.
Quite a short tenure on the grid.
Quite short.
But there was also gone through many a driver.
This is true.
Haven't they? You know?
Yeah. It's Kvyat.
The doors have...
the answer.
Kvyat and a McLaren. And then obviously Ferrari, Williams, two teams steeped in heritage as well. So a lot of names that might have jumped between the two. I'm going to go for Ferrari, Williams. I'm going to go for... Nigel Mansell.
Oh, that is correct.
That is such a good shout.
That's a deep shout.
That's a deep cut.
It was deep.
I forgot old Nige existed there for a second. I'm not going to lie.
Pinger off the crossbar.
That's good. And it's on the volley. He's caught it sweetly. Yeah. That is very good indeed.
The tapping was a Massa.
Yeah.
The tapping was massive.
I think the through ball was Barrichello. Yeah. The through ball was Barrichello as well.
Wow, there's actually options.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was done. Patrese was in there. Did he drive for Ferrari?
I have no idea.
I don't know still. I just know that he drove for Williams and he's Italian, so I kind of just put Have we got one more left? Or are we done?
We've got one more left.
McLaren Red Bull.
McLaren.
Now, obviously. When we think of Red Bull in this day and age, we think about them winning. We think about 30-second gaps. Yeah. We think about Sergio Perez going off. But it wasn't always that way.
No.
It wasn't always that way.
It wasn't.
Back in the original times, Red Bull were in the mid pack, fighting, fighting for their lives.
Two for now.
And one man that was there at the very start, who also enjoyed a great time at McLaren.
Yeah.
David Coulthard.
Oh, I love that.
What a geezer.
That's
you had to, think about that one. I had to really.
That is David Beckham against Greece.
90th minute.
That's what that was.
What a geezer.
Absolutely correct.
Get in there. Oh. Look at that, bro. Wheel knowledge.
Well, listen, we got them all right.
Yeah, you did.
Thanks again to Santander and F1. Don't forget to check out the Lap Zero quiz yourself, where you've got a chance of meeting me and Niran in Maranello this year for a VIP experience.
Yeah, come on. It's a serious, serious, serious prize.
Details down in the description down below.
Check it.
All right, so let's talk Ricciardo then. Ricciardo's the, you know, he's had a phenomenal race. His first
fantastic
unreal weekend as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's not done much this year. Like, he's not. He got super unlucky with that injury.
Yeah.
And he's turned up in Mexico and gone quicker than Checo in all three qualifying sessions, Q1, Q2, Q3. And then in the race, he's held on about as well as you could really expect.
He held his own. He held his own in that race. It was phenomenal. Absolute brilliant. It was on, you know, quali, you could argue, was it on merit? No, you can't even argue that it was on merit. It was definitely on merit. He was good in the practice sessions. He held his own in the race as well, which is what was so good to see. Yeah, okay, towards the end, you know, it kind of, I mean, it petered out and he finished P7.
One more lap, he could have got George as well.
You
know,
like, yeah, yeah,
one more lap, he could have got.
Yeah.
We never saw it because
director's a fucking dickhead. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you know, actually, yeah, can we just have a
Let's
quick
talk about that actually.
We have a quick tangent. The TV directing in Formula One,
yes,
this is bad. At least, like, a few years
Monaco
ago.
Was bad.
Well, yeah, this was the thing. At least a few years ago, it was like, okay, cool. When we get to Monaco, we know we're in for a tough evening. Yeah, it's going to be bad because they have their own directors there and they're not very good. But the last few races, last four or five races, the directing has been appalling.
Do you think
it's not difficult to look at the timing screens and go, hold on a second, he's 800ths away from the guy in front. Maybe we should switch to that battle.
And they will probably have screens of the action, never mind even watching the times.
Yeah, they're loving it. The TV directors just sat back like,
chilled.
Oh, yeah, go on, Daniel, get him. Oh, wait, sorry, I forgot to press the button, my bad.
How bad is the direction where there are on battles, there's battles on the screen, and you take it off the screen?
You took it, yeah, that's
there's
the thing.
There's a battle between Russell and Ricciardo, and then they decide, you know what, Max is going around the final two corners.
Yeah. Not even the last corner. He hadn't even come into the stadium section, man. I don't even know if he was in the final sector.
Yeah.
They don't ever do that. When do they ever do that? They were just literally, it was because it's the stadium, whatever, but like, bro, there's literally a battle for a pretty decent position here with a good storyline behind it. Just let it get to the end of the straight, and once they've got to the end of the straight, go to Max winning. It's fine. You can do both.
The more I think about this and how scandalous it is, I think there was somebody who was thinking like you and was like, look, this is a great battle, blah, blah, blah. But before the race started, somebody said, we need to get that final lap of the race winner going through the stadium by hook or by crook.
It must be.
And there was a strap to that person's head if they ever changed it back to anything else.
Okay, that's egregious. That one's egregious.
It is egregious.
But the amount of times we watched that race, and not even this race, in Qatar, in Japan, in Singapore, that the camera just cuts to the end of a battle.
Yeah.
Like, brother, why are you so late?
Yeah.
Why are you cutting away? You were showing us nothing and then you missed the battle.
Yeah. You need to think ahead with this.
A replay never hits the same as live.
Never.
No.
Never.
Because I know what happened after.
You know, you just know it's not live. So you're always going to react differently to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important how you present your product. Like, I feel like obviously back in the day, the direction was amazing. Mm. It made the cars look so fast. The way they used to show the on-track battles, even the way that it's so important how you present your product.
Mm.
And now it's just slapdash.
Yeah. The camera angles
camera angles are weird.
Yeah.
They're not showing really good battles here, even though good battles are going on. How much times have you seen a banger battle or banger move happen and you've had to check it on Twitter later on?
Post-race,
Post-race, 2 hours later. Oh, they didn't show us that.
Yeah, someone's clipped it off F1 TV and exactly. Slack, slack yeah.
And we'll go for Twitter, but most people watching, yeah. they just they'll watch it and then they'll just go it. Watch like
they'll never see it again.
Murder, She Wrote or something afterwards.
Do you reckon it's the same Don that always does these direction, TV directing?
They'll have a different team, I'm guessing. Well, they'll be, I don't know.
It's like the stewarding, we need consistency.
You need consistency.
It's just consistently
because you know like when Monaco, obviously Monaco had their own direction before the mayor it is and always has been. But then to see it like we've seen it in the last couple of races, I'm thinking, hang on a minute, has every other circuit got clued up with this, with what Monaco do? Now we're going to do that as well.
Sorry, what were we talking about before?
Well, we were talking about Ricciardo.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Fantastic. He's sick. He held his own in the race. That AlphaTauri's got real pace. Did he hold his own? He was hanging on the back of Russell and Sainz.
Yeah, and look, Tsunoda proved that car had pace.
Tsunoda went through the whole field like it was nobody.
What are you saying?
And then he went through the field backwards.
Yeah,
he went through the rear left. Uh-huh.
But what are we saying though? Is it just in Sunday's race? Is it just the altitude? Is it just the, you know what I mean? Is it the air? Or is this for real? Like, what is the AlphaTauri?
Well, they've scored 10 points all season.
Yeah.
So like,
and they won for 14 today.
Yeah.
If Tsunoda hadn't like.
Exactly. So they got, they had 10 and now they've got 14 today, you know, Sunday's race.
But I think they brought those upgrades a few races back.
They brought them in Singapore, didn't they?
I did read something about how the Red Bull engines, the Honda engines are better in this altitude as well, over Mercedes engines. So that could play a factor. But maybe the car just suits this track as well.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just really, that's a really major upgrade in the direction of Red Bull with the information from Red Bull. So
look, should there be
much better next season as well. Yeah. They're going, because they tried to do their own thing and they were embarrassing themselves. They're at the
bottom.
You got a Honda engine, what are you doing?
You're
at the bottom of the standings.
Is it worth then us watching AlphaTauri over these last couple of races? Do we think that we're going to see some sort of trajectory from here?
I mean, there's definitely been improvement. I mean, like, I loved Liam Lawson's performance, but he wouldn't have been where he was if it was the AlphaTauri from day one of the season.
Yeah. If you had a Nick De Vries AlphaTauri.
Yeah. Nick De Vries was performing badly, but the car itself was a tractor.
I think book it, lads. AlphaTauri outscore Alpine in 2024.
Oh, I love that from you. That's
that
great.
Hit me in the feels.
Someone write that one down.
I'm all over that.
We know what AlphaTauri direction is.
Yeah, man. It's they're Red taking Bull's way more from Red Bull.
What is Alpine's direction? You tell me.
Well, Alpine, you know,
is Rory McIlroy.
Probably Anthony Joshua.
Yo.
Alpine are probably the most lonely mid-table team I've ever seen. 126 points off Aston. And to be fair, if Williams get a couple 1-2s between now and the end of the season.
Wow.
Stranger things.
It's all on the table. That's all I'm saying.
Stranger things.
Mm. But well, shout out AlphaTauri. Up to 8 Ricciardo now in the championship.
Yeah, has Ricciardo's my early staked prediction. His claim here to possibly get in that second seat at Red Bull? Or is that just the plan? I feel like
it's
premeditated already. They've put him in the promos.
I've said it many a time on this show. I think Ricciardo's going to be in that seat for 2024.
If Daniel Ricciardo... Especially if that AlphaTauri is semi-decent, if Daniel Ricciardo peppers Yuki Tsunoda and we see the Daniel Ricciardo we just saw today consistently next season, Daniel Ricciardo will be in that Red Bull in 2025.
Because I don't think Lando Norris will be in that Red Bull, because I think McLaren are doing enough to prove that he's at the right team. And as much as it wasn't
the day,
a great day yesterday in qualifying for him, like you say, driver of the day, all of our driver of the day, the official driver of the day, Lando Norris, from the back to P5 in the end.
Mm. Oh, fantastic.
From the back to P8 to the back.
Yeah, true.
Pause twice, actually. Pause, that's crazy.
From the back is
from
wild.
Back. And then the back again. Mm. Yeah, to fit.
A lot of adversity when you think.
From
what, P17... to P8, then all of a sudden he boxes before an obvious red flag, puts in P10 on the restart.
Terrible start.
Then he has a terrible restart, goes down to P15, and then drives all the way to P5.
Yeah. Even if he'd started 15th and finished 5th from the start of the race to the end, that would have been like...
I think potentially we're looking at...
Even without the first half as well, that's insane.
Without the stinker restart.
Yeah.
And without the losing two positions on the pit stop that wasn't needed, we're looking at maybe a podium here.
Mm. Oh,
a possible podium.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because
and Lewis were the next quickest cars behind Max.
Yeah, I think.
He catches the Ferraris.
Yeah,
yeah,
so, yeah.
Yeah, because he probably clears George like 20 laps earlier because he would have started the restart like eighth.
And two unreal overtakes as well.
Oh wow.
For the people that say, oh, Lando Norris, no racecraft, I've never seen an overtake by Lando Norris.
Yeah.
What are you watching, mate?
Yeah, save today's race. Save the highlights.
You've got two highlights there, right?
Which was the best one, do you think?
Oh,
the Russell one was ballsy.
The Russell one was nice because he set it up really nicely. Yeah. It was like textbook switchback maneuver.
Yeah.
Especially his engineer was like, you know what George is like.
Yeah. Set it up.
Gave him a warning.
That was crazy, by the way. That's still...
We're only talking about those two overtakes like there weren't a million other...
Yeah. I think what? He must have done more. He must have done at least... Well, he must have done like 20 overtakes today.
Albon, Ocon, Gasly.
Because he gained Bottas, 10 positions twice. Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm missing a lot.
To start P17 and then, you know, get up to P whatever it was and then back to 15 and then back again to 5.
Yeah. You must be doing 18, 19 overtakes.
18, 19 overtakes.
The one on Ricciardo, though, is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, banging.
Round the outside against Daniel Ricciardo, last of the late breakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mad. Millimeter worth.
I think it's the Ricciardo.
Is it the Ricciardo one?
Yeah, I think it's the Ricciardo one. Because it's millimeter perfect.
Because what? Ricciardo's the better driver than Russell. Is that what it is?
Oh, no. It's because.
The way of overtake.
I think it was the way of overtake, to be honest. It's also partially because it's Ricciardo.
For agenda purposes, the Russell one.
But he sent. Yeah, but the thing. Yeah,
you got to say, look.
Agenda Russell, over facts.
Russell, where did you start? Norris, where did you start? How did this happen?
Yeah. I mean, that is...
The way he sent Russell, though, Russell got sent to the shop. There was that one sort of dummy before. It was literally textbook.
It was
so good.
Yeah.
It was so good. But the other one, the Ricciardo one was ballsy, though.
How good's Lando been this year, boys? Because obviously, you two, you three particularly, like, follow Lando particularly.
Mm.
So obviously, there's always, maybe you're just following, you know, when you
there's
focus
probably,
on certain
drivers.
So, I focus on Alex a bit more than most people. Yeah. So I'm going to probably give him a bit more benefit of the doubt. But where would you put Lando amongst the, like, just on form at the moment? Because we haven't seen him, you know, he made a little mistake in qualifying and, you know, no one's perfect, right? And I think he's had his fair share of kind of small errors here and there. But, I mean...
He's a top three driver on the grid.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
And the thing is...
It's not a question.
The thing is, we hold him to such a high standard because of the whole... This guy, I think he got into Q3. How many races in a row? How many years in a row?
Yeah.
Just getting into Q3, bang, bang.
Yeah, wasn't there a finishing record as well in 2021? You did like 20 races in a row.
I think he holds...
Of the current
drivers, he's got the third highest percentage of points finishes.
Yeah.
So the guy's extremely consistent.
And it's not like it's even in the greatest machinery either.
And
like
when
over that old time.
No.
Mm. When we do see a scenario, let's say like in Saudi, in quali, when he hits the wall, or even yesterday where he doesn't finish the lap, or like he locks up his tyres on his only push lap and doesn't get into Q2, or you kind of highlight those mistakes, but this guy is in unreal consistency.
Mm.
Yeah.
The second he was given a car, he's the second highest point scorer in Formula One.
Yeah.
The guy is, how many podiums does he get in a row? He's just always there, no matter what.
The fact that, I know we literally brought up this stat earlier, but the fact that he has 5 second places more than Sergio Perez, who's actually been in a race winning car since the very start of the season, he's basically converted almost half of his races this season in competent machinery into a second place.
It's phenomenal.
I don't understand his tire management. I don't understand how he's getting pace out of mediums
dropped
at the end.
Off.
Yeah.
He's going faster.
Yeah. Than everyone. Well, apart from Max. It's insane.
And you could see, obviously, Piastri's fantastic, but you could see the disparity in tire management between the two.
Yeah. Which is only natural because Oscar's so new
Oscar's
to Formula One.
But it kind of just extinguishes. Look, this guy's building skills here. This is a period of time where he's had one of the worst cars in his career in Formula One.
Mm.
And now he's having one of the
best. I really, really hope you give him
in the
a
same,
title fighting
in the
car.
Same season.
Yeah. I really hope, man. Because like, you know, when we say about this, you say this about Charles as well, like obviously briefly had that car in 2019. You know, so many great drivers come into this sport and we never really get to see them in top tier machinery. But I think Lando's done everything. I don't, what more could you ask from him, really?
Has there even been one season where you could go, he's just been slightly disappointed?
He outqualified Science head to head first year. Year straight out of the bat, like, in terms of head to head anyway.
I honestly know not everything's about technically it is actually about the points that you gain. It's about the standings quite literally, but it doesn't tell the whole story is what I mean. The fact that he is currently ahead of Charles Leclerc in the championship.
Yeah.
This guy
blows my mind, mate, when McLaren just didn't turn up for the first 8 Grand Prix of the year.
Think about, this is what paints his season the most. The most 2 frequent positions he's had this season is P17 and P2.
The most.
I love that stat.
Yeah, he's had 4 P17s and 5 P2s.
Yeah. That's the story.
Yeah. That's how it started versus how it's going.
You know,
and the fact that he even persevered, like even before the upgrades, he was qualifying on what, P3 in Spain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in those peaks where that car was a little bit good, he maximized it, and he was getting points finishes regardless.
But listen, P17 and P11, same number of points.
That's true. That
facts. It is
nil pois. So
I definitely think he's bar Max is one of the drivers of the season.
Absolutely.
I think he's the. I think if you were to rank him wise, I really think.
Let's be realistic here. Yeah.
He has to be.
If he does leapfrog Sainz and Alonso and gets P4 in a championship, what the hell have we just witnessed?
No, genuinely.
Because the guy's only had a good car since Austria.
Yeah.
How on earth is he qualified?
They've given everyone else a 9 race or 8 race. I can't remember.
He's only 14 points behind P4.
Yeah. That's mental.
And I'm telling you, I'm telling
and Alonso ain't scoring points between now and the end of the season either as well.
From now to the end of the season, he's getting a podium. So it's happening.
Yeah. And Science in a Ferrari, obviously, has done what, P3, P4.
Yeah.
You know, it's good points.
Science is the big competition.
Yeah. Science would be hard. Yeah. Science would be harder. But he will pass Alonso, you'd imagine.
Yeah. So I think it's Science and Leclerc, because Leclerc's like 3 points behind.
Yeah, true.
So that's the battle. If he outscores both of them, that's just testament to his season.
Yeah.
And he's given guys a head start. Imagine we had this car at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
He would be in that period.
Well, he'd be second. He would have been consistently where, because there hasn't been that consistent second placed driver that we were talking about earlier. He would have been that.
Definitely.
So. Obviously, I still think there's a bridge. There's a gap to Red Bull next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a big ask to say, McLaren will give him that car. Because listen, that Red Bull have been kind of handicapped. They've said, look, we haven't really developed the car. We're focusing on 2024. Let's see what new brings. They might take another step forward and then that might make it more, even more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I think the nature of McLaren's upgrade and how quickly you turn things around is test, and how quickly Aston Martin initially turned it around as well.
Well, they have turned round.
But they've kind of gone full circle, haven't they? Because they were level 1 points with Alfa Romeo last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now they're fighting with Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
For like P15. So it's like they've gone full circle.
They went 360.
But like, I think the only way Max doesn't win next year is if there is a consistent number 2 car, but specifically driver. It's like consistently number 2. And then whenever Max is off weekends, they can pick it up.
The one good sign for me, like looking as a McLaren fan, is every time they put an upgrade in the car, it works.
Mm-hmm.
That to me shows that you fundamentally understand your car.
Yeah.
And Andrea Stella's already said out there that, look, we're kind of limited to the chassis at the moment. We can't even do 50% of the upgrades we really want to do until next year.
Mm.
So he's still saying, look, we've got stuff to do.
There's room to cook.
Your own wind tunnel.
So everything's there. The foundations are set. They understand the car.
Please.
It can move forward. But it's all about if Red Bull move even more forward.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, kind of like that. Yeah. But I feel like they can bridge a gap on everybody else. I feel like Ferrari, Mercedes, when they do an upgrade, it doesn't really like they understand. They're not making the gains that other teams are making.
It's almost a prediction, isn't it? What they're going to, in terms of when they do an upgrade, they're looking at a prediction of what could happen. Whereas McLaren seem to know, we know what the problem is here and this is how we're going to fix that problem.
So now the problem is drivability.
So now it's, exactly. And you look at what these two drivers have been doing for us second half of the season, or even just a bit more than that. And the thing is as well, though, you know, you got mentioned in the stream, 16 race wins for Max Verstappen. That is, out of 19 races at the time of recording, it's crazy. And I don't know how we bridge that gap. that's the issue we got there.
I actually think, obviously, qualifying, you know, started P3, it was within a tenth of the top three.
Yeah.
But I'd say race-wise, this was one of Max's most impressive drives. Like the way he cut through on the initial start and just perfectly placed his car between the Ferraris, put himself in that perfect position to lead out of turn one, which is so important in Mexico. And then the restart to just check out on the restart, which it's the longest run to turn one.
Can I be a hater though?
No, yeah, go for it, man.
No, only because the Ferraris were awful at the start, both times. Yeah, Max done his job, done exactly what he's supposed to do. But the Ferraris stank out the joint at the beginning, the first...
Yeah, both starts. Usually at least one of them, they get it right.
I mean, last three restarts.
We watched the onboard of Leclerc start and you knew.
He was straight in the mirror.
You just knew. You just knew. This is awful. This car's rolling, not even off. And Max done his job, done what he had to do, and he's in a Red Bull. Hello, right? The pace is there. You look at Checo from P5, was clearing a Ferrari, both Ferraris, and then obviously, done what he done. But if you're Ferrari, have a hard look at yourselves. Just get a good start. All you want is a launch. That's it. Nothing, not like saying, you should have won this race. No, but turn one. He didn't even make it to turn one. Max was already in the lead before turn one. So
and then 12 and a half. Well, he could pit before the red flag and not lose position.
I think I said as a joke on the stream, I was like, Max could probably, because originally it was kind of looking like it was going to be a two stop and then kind of a lot of people were going to do a one stop without the red flag stops.
Yeah.
I remember saying, Max could probably do a three stop here and actually he actually could have done it. Mathematically, he actually could have done that.
No,
that's the levels. Yeah.
491 points is over double.
Do you understand how
over double Checo now?
That doesn't even seem logical.
I'm sorry,
getting 491 points in one season does that's not.
Constructors points. He's the constructors
with three and a sprint, including a sprint to go. By the way,
Max Motorsport has won this constructors championship.
It's a Max Verstappen world, and we're all just living
in it.
That's
insane. Boys, it's been fun, a pleasure as always. Thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. Niren, what do the people need to do before they go?
There's a couple of things. I'm not going to take up too much of your time yet. But if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. Of course, you'll know when the live show is happening. Cause it's usually the same time as the race.
Usually live.
When the podcast is coming out. Short form stuff over on TikTok and on Instagram. And if you are audio only in your preference, then Spotify as well. Give us a 5-star rating. Over there, where can the people find us?
They can find us on the back of Christian Horner's right earlobe.
Right earlobe. It's a difficult one to find, not going to lie, but there is a QR code there.
Jerry Halliwell is very familiar with it.
Yeah. Mad. Mad. Yeah.
Christian Horner pulled a Spice Girl. Crazy.
Yeah, mate, it's a Christian Horner world.
What a world.
Christian Horner, David Beckham, same man.
Same guy.
Eddie Murphy, the Jays.
Just crazy, man.
Mahad, Pete, thank you so much for coming again. Check out McLaren Fan TV where you can find these two. And we'll see you next time.
See ya. Peace.